From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of April, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Cheyenne Dunham. She's with Northern Country Cooperative. Jackie Vakes is out of the office today. Ruth McCabe, a conservation agronomist, will be here to discuss the impact of the derecho in that large part of eastern Iowa that suffered through the storm last August. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, not only here in the United States, but in Brazil, with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today down 9 1/4. It finished at $6.86 1/4. July at $6.44, 10 1/2 lower. In December, $5.46 1/2, down 15 3/4. May beans up 8 cents, $15.57 3/4. July down 5 3/4 at $15.13 3/4. And new crop November 14 1/2 lower. They settled at $13.28. Bean oil futures up 2.50 at $68.95. The bean meal down 4.20 at $421.30. Live cattle futures for the day finished about 40 cents lower on the day. Feeder cattle down 32 1/2 and lean hogs up $1.47 1/2. Cheyenne Dunham now joins us. She's from Northern Country Cooperative out of Stacyville, Iowa, though she's not located there. Stacyville, of course, is in the more northeastern part of Iowa. She's closer to Denison. For those of you who listen, you know that that's where the Andersons facility is. They're to the west of Des Moines that they produce ethanol from. Thank you, Cheyenne, for being with us. We do appreciate that a great deal. Let's talk about what farmers in the cooperative have done over the last week, if anything. Were they spooked by the high price? Did they take advantage of the high price? Did they decide just to stay in the field? Can they get in the field? All sorts of things that you might have been discussing with
sure.
them.
Well, first of all, they've had no issues getting in the field. You know, even with the cold snap, our area missed a lot of that snow and stuff that I know, you know, a little closer to that Des Moines area was dealing with. So they've been able to push through and make some pretty good planting progress. As far as, you know, market movement and what they're doing, we've seen a little bit of old crop and a little bit of new crop move at these prices, you know, this past week. So things were really bulled up there for a while, but, you know, I think it's hard to turn down a limit up day for them.
So by your area, do you mean where you live in to the west of Des Moines or where the co-op is in the northern part?
Sure, both. Actually, both, I would say. Here where I'm at, I did get, I think, one or two light snowfalls, but, you know, nothing really to accumulate, nothing to stick around. The co-op area didn't really see any snow. So again, it didn't really slow them down. You know, the ground's nice and dry for getting crop in, and the cold weather hasn't been as big of a deterrent as I think it might have been for some people either.
Just as a quick reminder to folks that where you live is in the most productive crop reporting district in the state of Iowa for corn. That's by the numbers in general. And you have, as you told me, traveled to the southwestern quarter of Minnesota in the last couple of weeks. What did things look like?
Yeah. So I was up there last Thursday, Friday, driving up and down Highway 4, just to give you an idea. But I mean, a lot of people out in the fields, a lot of people moving, you know, doing agronomy and planting and everything. So obviously things had warmed up a little bit by then, but even, you know, talking to people up in that area, it hasn't really slowed them down. I think it's going to be a hard and fast planting season around this whole, you know, Minnesota-Iowa section this year. And, you know, the dry weather has helped with that. But hopefully we see some rain here once the crop's in the ground. That would really help us out.
Do you have much subsoil moisture levels?
It's pretty dry up here right now. And, you know, we've been dry the last couple of years in this central Iowa area for sure. So I think that's, you know, it could be a growing concern once we do get the planting done. But for now, I think we've been taking advantage of it as far as not being slowed down by any mud.
Do producers put soybeans in early too now?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I think actually talking again to the merchandiser up in that Stacyville area, he really thinks we're going to be, you know, 90% done with bean planting by the weekend, and for sure done with corn is kind of where we're pegging it at this point. So, you know, corn went in early, beans kind of went in around the same time, which I know is a little bit unusual.
So your folks in Iowa, that southern part of Minnesota, are really moving fast in that case.
Yeah, you know, the weather's been favorable. Both, you know, temperature's been a little cold, but I mean, you know, they've got the equipment to go hard and fast, and it just takes a few good days to knock it out anymore.
Anything been in long enough to row it?
I haven't seen anything, you know, nothing at this point. I think just towards the, you know, end of last week, first part of this week, it's gotten in.
What's your assessment of the markets in Chicago, especially May as it heads into First Notice Day on Friday?
Sure. I mean, you know, this today was kind of a little bit interesting, especially in the May contract. I mean, we started up good, strong, a little bit of short covering there, but I mean, everything kind of quieted off here by the close. So, you know, I know that inverse between May and July was kind of a tough deal with processors and everyone rolling over to July futures. So that's kind of made things a little bit interesting in the nearby.
What are your assessment of the new crop in this case? Because there are a whole lot of things that are happening. You're off to a good start in Iowa. That generally puts a lot of pressure on the market, but has not. And then, of course, old crop is worried at this point about what's to come out of Brazil and the conditions there.
Again, you know, new crop, weather-wise, we kind of touched on a little bit of a weather rally with those cold temps, but I think, you know, we're moving away from that as it's showing that planting progress is looking good. Obviously, you know, Brazil dryness is a concern there at this point. So I think there is some concern and optimism about what's going to happen with our new crop prices. But again, you know, it's just almost a little tougher, I think, for people to assess the prices at these, you know, $5, $6, $7 futures levels than it was when we were sitting around that $4 futures level for them.
As they ran the planters, did they make new crop sales?
We did see some, yeah, especially again, those strong up days. I think it was, you know, they were ready to let a little bit more go, but I think a lot of people locked in a larger chunk of new crop earlier on than maybe they've done the last few years. You know, they did that a while back, so they've been content to sit and ride it out for a while, but again, it's hard to turn down, you know, new contract highs and everything. So we did see a few more people lock some stuff in, but I think there's still, you know, plenty to price ahead of the growing season and as we get into harvest too.
Analysts and farmers, especially in this part of the world, have been looking to the West and say, hey, those folks are dry. That's a big concern for us going into the summer months. And it's always about somebody else, usually. What are farmers in your part of the world saying?
Well, like you said, everyone's dry that way. We're still really dry here, and we were really dry last year, too. So I think on the one hand, you know, it can help the futures price as far as a weather scare, a little bit of momentum there. But as far as actual production side, you know, even last year between a drought and a derecho, you know, this area didn't see a huge drop in production from that. So I think, you know, genetics and all of that have come a long way. So we're not seeing those weather impacts on our yield as much as I think we have previously.
Hey, thanks so much, Cheyenne. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Cheyenne Dunham is with Northern Country Cooperative. She's headquartered in Stacyville, Iowa, but lives to the west of Des Moines. Stacyville is to the north and east of Des Moines, Iowa, actually much closer to the Minnesota border. Speaking of the derecho, in just a moment, we'll talk with Ruth McCabe. She is with Heartland Co-op and lives in that derecho area. I spoke with her last week about it. If you've checked out our website today at willag.org, you will see the latest edition of the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast there. Ruth McCabe joined us from Heartland Co-op on that podcast. I talked with her last week, and there was a bit more information there than I could actually use in the podcast, and I thought it might be interesting to hear from her today. Heartland covers the center third of Iowa from east to west. And she's located in the eastern part, though she is a conservation agronomist that covers the whole part of that middle part of the state. However, she lives and works mostly in that eastern area and suffered through the derecho late last summer. And I took some time to talk with her about it just to get an understanding of what it really meant to that large area.
Yeah, Harlan got hit hard by the derecho. It was our trade territory. I mean, like, if the derecho could have scraped out a cooperative's trade territory any more efficiently, I would have been amazed. We lost a lot of bins, had a lot of damage. It was tough. Harlan pulled through because that's the way Heartland is. But our trade territory definitely got hammered. A few of our locations had to shut down indefinitely, you know, until we can get them back up and running. Thankfully, we were prepared. Heartland is really great about being prepared for these exact kind of things. And so we were really able to come back swinging. But yeah, definitely got hit. And so did our growers.
How much crop damage was done? And did it vary much by corn, by variety, by soybeans?
Corn was destroyed. I mean, in the heart of where the derecho scraped across central Iowa, there were catastrophic losses. I couldn't even give you a number, but I remember that there were some numbers floating around and they were pretty extreme. I'd have to Google it again because I don't remember them. But it was bad. You could just drive down the highway and it was just flattened field after flattened field after flattened field. It was crazy. And what was really even weirder is that as soon as you just drove north, half an hour, you could drive north 30 miles and it was like night and day difference. The derecho just kind of was like a spoon. It just scraped across the center of the state and ripped everything out. But the numbers were pretty stark. So I would say that within the area of damage, gosh, 70%. That's me pulling that figure out. But, you know, 70% within the area of damage of cornfields were just catastrophically damaged.
What did it mean for this year's crop? Anything?
Well, prices are higher.
Well, that, but I mean, in terms of what producers, you know, what rotation looked like, what producers had to do, what the expectations
there were
volunteer corn, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was volunteer corn. Yep. A lot of folks were hoping that. Everything was up in the air because crop insurance, you know, everything got turned upside down. You know, insurance adjusters had to make it out before folks could make any kind of decisions about what they were going to do. Were they going to till it in? You know, folks really wanted to get out and tear it up and till it in so that they could encourage those grains to just germinate and then they would die over the winter, right? Because nobody wanted to deal with massive, you know, volunteer corn this spring. And so, you know, there was a lot of ups and downs last summer as people were trying to figure out, well, can I get out there and finally till it in? You know, what can I do? Some folks had to change up their rotation. There's so much trash on the grounds, you know, so much biomass and whatever left over that they switched up their rotations, rather than sticking with what they would have done. So, I mean, yeah, it turned a lot of stuff upside down, if that's what you're asking, in terms of how people responded. I didn't see a ton of volunteer corn actually this spring. I think a lot of folks were able to get on top of it last summer, to the point that a lot of it germinated. I know down south, I have some growers down south this spring that were dealing with some pretty bad volunteer corn issues, but that, you know, I think came down to the fact that they couldn't get out there to tear things up and get that stuff. You know, they tried harvesting and they wound up with a lot of ears of corn on the ground and it was too late, so it didn't germinate. And so then it germinated this spring.
I'm told it still looks like a disaster area as far as infrastructure goes, buildings and bins and...
Yes, you can still see the damage. Yeah, you can definitely, there's still signs on the highways that are flattened still that they haven't gotten around to fixing. And there are definitely bins that just look like pop cans that got stepped on. You drive around the country and you can just see these huge piles of steel, you know, crumpled up steel, and it just looks like flattened pop cans and piles, you know, and that's from the derecho. It was funny because I had a friend come down from Minneapolis and we were driving east a little bit because I was taking her to go and visit with a grower that I knew. And we were, you know, we drove by one farm that I drive by every day, so I'm used to seeing it, but they have like three or four bins that got destroyed. So they have all the steel just piled up in a huge pile, and you can see a barn that just got annihilated. And she looked out the window and was like, gosh, what happened there? Like, they must be reconstructing, or, you know, was there a tornado? And I was like, no, that was from the derecho last year. Nobody understands how devastating it was. My farm, we lost on my little farm. I came home that day and it was like we lost half of the trees on my farm. Our chicken coop, one of our coops got smashed. It was crazy.
That was Ruth McCabe. She's a conservation agronomist for Heartland Co-op and lives and works in the eastern part of Iowa, where the derecho last August did its most damage. I talked with her as part of the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction podcast. You can find that podcast on our website right now, in fact, at willag.org, willag.org. Let's check the weather forecast now. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thank you, Drew, for taking the time today.
You betcha. It's another good day. It's springtime, right? So hopefully everybody's out there working those fields that aren't a little too wet.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But I want to talk about dry conditions first. Not here in the United States, however, in the Safrinha crop-growing regions of Brazil. That crop has been under stress now since it was put in the ground, actually, almost from the marketplace's viewpoint, and for those who are in agronomy, since before it was put in the ground. What can you tell me about conditions there and whether they'll get rainfall, what things might look like going forward?
Well, the ground is dry. There's no question about it. In the southern two-thirds of the region, Mato Grosso, that's the biggest Safrinha corn-producing state, is in not so bad shape. But the southeast corner of that state is hurting from moisture, but the west and the north are doing pretty well. In Mato Grosso do Sul, also the western two-thirds of the state are doing okay. But everybody else, which is probably nearly half of the crop, if not a little more than that, is running very short to short on topsoil moisture and subsoil moisture. This is the way the soil should look in about this late in the second or early in the third week of May in a normal year. And we've been in this state probably for 10 days already in many locations. Subsoil moisture was a little bit better 10 days ago, but it is a stressful environment. The only thing that's helping them out at the moment is that the temperatures in the afternoons are getting up into the upper 70s and 80s in these driest areas, which is helping to slow that drying down, but it's still stressful. And as we go forward through the next 10 days, we are going to see just the same thing occur. There is not going to be any relief. In fact, temperatures will get a little bit warmer as we go forward through the week next week, and the afternoon highs will be solidly in the 80s with some lower 90s. Mato Grosso, where the soil moisture is, at least for now, okay, we'll be seeing some middle 90-degree temperatures. So it won't take them long to catch up on the dry trend, too.
So the further south we go, the drier it gets, correct?
That's the way it is at the moment. Yes, that is correct.
And the further south we go, the smaller the crop should be, I would think. Is that right?
I would think that's probably right, yes. It certainly has been dry in parts of Sao Paulo and Paraná for quite a while, Sao Paulo in particular. I think Sao Paulo is one of those places you were kind of alluding to that had been dry since the crop went into the ground, and that's really true. They had a couple of rounds of precipitation, but it never got all that moist there. Paraná's done a little bit better, and Paraná is pretty important to Safrinha corn producing state, so maybe a little bit better there, at least for now, but it won't take long for them to go down too.
Here in the United States, farmers have been working in the field after that pause for the cold weather that we had last week. It looks like things are really starting to turn pretty nice with a little rainfall here and there, and then some conditions that producers can put crop in the ground.
Yeah, it is. It's a good mix and pretty much fits with our expectations and our longer range outlook that we released back in February. We kind of felt like it was going to be a fairly normal-ish spring. And I think it is that way. But boy, there's some farmers in Iowa that have talked about blowing dust as they plant the crop this year. And it's probably the first time in quite a few years they've actually lifted dust off the ground. So it's a little bit concerning. It is drier biased in parts of Iowa and southwestern Wisconsin and southern portions of Minnesota. Those areas have been 4 weeks with way below average precipitation. But like you said a moment ago, it's been cool, so it hasn't really made any big difference. But now that we're heating up a little bit, that need for rain is beginning to rise, and it's going to be even more imperative that we do start getting more rain to occur in order to ensure that this crop will get off to a good start. And right now, the forecast brings a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity across Iowa and neighboring areas there. Perhaps on Sunday going into Monday, that's the first round, which should do okay with moistening up the topsoil. And then we may get another opportunity for later next week, probably Friday or Saturday, the 7th and 8th of May. The rest of the Midwest, a little bit different situation. We're going to see some heavy rain occurring in southern Illinois and southeastern Missouri and southwestern parts of Indiana here tonight and tomorrow. And the rain that's going to occur is going to be heavy enough that there may be some local flooding in some of those areas farther to the north in the heart of Illinois and in northern half of Indiana, even Ohio and Michigan, probably going to be a lot better with no excessive moisture expected, but some alternating periods of rain and sunshine. And it looks like our temperatures are going to be fairly seasonable as we go forward through a big part of the next 10 days.
What do rain amounts look like across that region? I'm thinking particularly southern Illinois and then the upper two-thirds of the state, too.
Yeah, the southern tip of Illinois, we could see, gosh, it could be 2 to 6 inches, unfortunately, over the next 24 to 36 hours there. Certainly a lot of rain coming up. It'll be also associated with some strong to severe thunderstorms. Southwestern Indiana, probably see some 1 to 3 inch totals. And northwest Kentucky, the same thing. And then you get up into central and northern parts of Illinois between now and, let's say, the first part of next week, we'll probably see a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain. There'll be several counties that'll come in with maybe an inch and a quarter. And the greatest amounts outside of that lower Ohio Valley area will probably be in central Indiana and a fair amount of central and eastern Ohio. But the farther northwest you go, the lighter, more insignificant the rains will be until we get to early next week, and then we'll bring on some half to 1.5 inch rains and something locally greater in some of those areas.
Soil moisture back up to where it should be in those upper two-thirds of Illinois and parts of Iowa yet?
Well, it is better. Let's put it that way. There's still a bit of a need for more moisture in there, but I think from a planting perspective, it's not a bad time to be in this position, as long as we do get better rains as we move forward into the first half of May. And I think that is what is being advertised. It is drier, though, farther to the northwest and parts of the Dakotas, of course, and Minnesota still fighting a lot of dryness. And it's going to be a while before they get any real serious rainfall, probably at least 10 days, I would say. They'll get some spits and spats, and that's about it as far as good amounts of rain. I think is probably going to be late in the first week of May, more likely in the second week before they get that.
Thank you, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.